Okay, so the Gemara discusses different ranges of who's chayiv in Re'iyah and who's pater from Re'iyah, and specifically the Gemara goes through a Chayresh, Shota, and a Katan, and there are two separate sugyas that deal with what type of a Chayresh is pater, and what type of a Chayresh is chayiv, and it's what seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara in terms of people who cannot hear is that anyone with a hearing problem or a speaking problem, i.e. they can't hear or they can't speak, is completely pater from mitzvahs re'iyah. And ein tzorich lomar, a person who completely can't hear and can't speak, because that person is pater from kol tarakula. And then the Gemara later on, that was one sugi in the Gemara. Then a different sugi in the Gemara gets into the definition of a shota. Right, so the Gemara has three different characteristics of a shote, and then is a machlokes amuraim, whether or not you have to have all three of them, or is it sufficient to just have one of them? Okay, so for today, I wanted to split this shir in half, and we'll just do half on the hagdara of a cheresh and half on a shote. Obviously, there's overlap between the two categories, but nevertheless, this is more technical, just reading through some of the poskim on the subject of who is considered a cheresh and who is considered a shota. So, really, before we go forward, this is really just an introduction. The topics of cheresh and shota have major ramifications, mostly for the halachas of gittin. The most important shuvas on cheresh and shota are written about someone who is married and then goes crazy in some way, shape, or form or another, and is the person able to give a get or not? Because generally speaking, when you're married to a crazy person, it's not super fun. So the wife wants to get out of the marriage, and the question is, can the husband even write a get? Is that considered a kosher get? Or maybe because he's crazy, his get is invalid because he's no longer a bar das to be able to write a get. Obviously, there's certain situations. These are the classic aguna cases, right? When nowadays, I think I got an email from Ora today. You guys know what Ora is?
Yeah.
It's the organization for the resolution of agunot. So when they're talking about agunos, they're not talking about what the Gemara means. The Gemara means an aguna. When the Gemara means an aguna, it means either someone whose husband is lost at sea or at war, and they don't know where he is, or someone who became a cheresh or a shote during the marriage and is simply unable to give a get. Nowadays, somebody's just refusing to give a get because he has different options. Nowadays, we live in a secular society, so it's much easier for a husband from a religious marriage to just say, fine, I'll give a secular divorce, but I'm not going to give a religious divorce. And therefore, it's much more complicated to try to make sure that the woman is able to remarry if she so chooses, by getting her a religious divorce as well. So that's what we mean when we say agunos bizmanenu. But in those days, in the times of the Gemara and the Rishonim and the early Achronim, where even when the Jews were not living in Jewish countries, but they still had a certain measure of autonomy, so they were able to make sure that every issue of marriage and divorce was a religious marriage, and a religious divorce wasn't such a problem. Nowadays, that's a problem, but that's not the issue that we're dealing with today. So, just by way of introduction, anything that comes from here is just a general clock. We're not dealing with major pratim of who's considered a real cheresh, who's considered a real shota in a given situation. So, just let's talk a little bit about the concept of cheresh and shota, and really the very very important tshuva is what I gave you in source number three. The Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer starts with our Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amid Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Ezehu Shote, Pirish Rashi, Amar B'chol Makom, Shepater Mikol HaMitzvos. Rashi explains, what do we mean in general when we say a Shote is Pater from Mitzvos? U'min Ha'onesh, Vein Kinyano Kinyin, Vein Memkar O'Memkar, meaning, he's not Chayev any Mitzvos, he's, anytime he makes a sale that's not a valid sale, if he makes an acquisition, it's not a valid acquisition. He's not considered a bar das. So what are the three examples? A yotze yichidi balayla, ba'alan beveis akvaros, a makarei aksusa. Person who sleeps, he goes out alone at night, which in those days was very dangerous. he sleeps in a cemetery, or he tears his clothing. So ask the Chasam Silver, wait a second. Those are the three things like that makes you a shota? I don't know. If I went into a mental institution today, so these guys are legitimately, certifiably crazy. And how many of them have spent the night in the cemetery? Maybe none. Right? Do they tear their clothing? Maybe some, maybe none. Right? I mean, nowadays, not so dangerous to go outside at night by yourself. But it's not necessarily the definition. It's very hard to understand. Yesh la'in ma geder nasnu b'shota halo afilu cheresh patim mitzvos v'ha'onshin v'ein kinyano memkaro klum. So the Chasam Sofer takes the approach that, wait a second, a cheresh, eino shome, eino medaber, he's potter from everything. Because he's not considered halachically to have das. V'yaduahu ki a cheresh ein bo achas mikol elu aminuyim kant. Cheresh doesn't do any of these things. V'afilo achi ov ein daito shlema memuaru mikol amur. But nevertheless, since he's not there 100%, he is excluded from all of the mitzvos, etc. Umikolshkin mishadaito pchusam an acherish. Meaning, certainly someone who's less with it than a cherish, kimo rov pisaim. Right here, he's using the term pesi. A pesi here, he's referring to someone who's what we would call nowadays maybe a mentally handicapped or developmentally disabled. So he's saying the majority of people who we would classify as a cheresh or a shote are much worse off than a cheresh sheino medaber v'eino shomea. V'imkei, my time in Asnu Chazal, geder ezu shote. So, a guy who's so crazy, he's looking at it from the perspective of a guy who's so crazy that he's doing these things, he's much worse off mentally than a person who's simply deaf and can't speak. That person could be completely normal. He just doesn't communicate with other human beings. So this guy is certifiable. So why all of a sudden are these guys, why do we even need this category? It's basically what he's asking. The Yosem is a Yesh L'tmoa, Lama Manu Chacham B'chol Makam Cheresh V'shote. Why did the Chacham always listen together? V'evshe V'karv L'vadeh Shekachi Halacha Mosh Misina. So for starters, the Chasam Sofer has an important rule, and this rule is quoted in virtually all the subsequent poskim, that he says, where do we even get this idea from, that a cheresh and a shote are pater from all the mitzvahs in the Torah? It's got to be Halacha Mosh Misina. There's really nowhere in Shas where the Gemara says that a cheresh and a shote, we learn out from Sukkim, or we learn out from some kind of a drasha, that the cheresh and shote are pater from mitzvahs. It has to be Halacha Mosh Misina. Right? By the way, when we say Halacha Mosh Misina, you guys know what we're talking about? There's a very specific category of halacha called a halacha Moshe Misina, right? The you guys get a chance to learn the Rambam's introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah. You should put it on your list of things to do. The Rambam's Hakdama to Pirush HaMishnah. There are a number of excellent editions that are available. They have copies with nice footnotes and commentaries, etc. Very worthwhile to do. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah really describes how Torah Sheba'al Peh works, different parts of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So he divides up Torah Sheba'al Peh in different parts. And for example, you guys ever learned Sukkah? So how do we know what an Esrog is? How do we know what an Esrog is? What? So it's not Allah Moshe Misina, right? So he says it's a that's what he would call a Perish HaMakubo Misina. Meaning, there are different ways. The Gemara goes through. How do we know that when the Torah says, Olkaktam Lachem Bayom Rishon, pre-Eitz Hadar, V'kapostam Rabbanaf, Eitz Olas V'arbinaf? Right? So how do we know what these Minim are? So pre-Eitz Hadar, the fruit of a beautiful tree, the beautiful fruit of a tree. Right? So it's a little hard to identify. That could be a really nice pear. I don't know. A mango. Right, so why do we dafka know that's an esrog? So the Rambam says, well, obviously when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah and quoted those psukim to people, he explained that means an esrog. And since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, no one has really had any doubts that it was a different fruit. But nevertheless, the difference between that and Halacha Moshe Misinai is that the Gemara goes through different possibilities as to how you learn from the psukim that a pre-eitz hadar is an esrog. So that, for example, they say pre-eitz hadar, right? Why they put the word next to the word pre next to the word eitz? So it says pre shetam pre ve'eitz shav, right? That the flavor of the tree is similar to the flavor of the fruit. Right, so all of a sudden, not so excited to eat an esrog it tastes like the tree. I've never tried it, but apparently, if you sucked on the wood of a citron tree, if that's what it's called, so it'll have a similar flavor to the esrog itself. Right, so that's one way. Another way is it's called pre-eitz hadar, but they don't read it hadar, read it hador. So they say pre hador be'ilano mishana l'shana. Right, it's a very rare fruit that actually, if you leave it on the tree, it will remain from year to year. So that's another way you could learn out that pre-eitz hadar is an esrog. So on one hand, we always knew what it was. On the other hand, had we not known what it was, we still could have learned it out using the midos shetar and a dreshes bun. That's one level of tersh b'al peh. That's not what halacha moshe m'Sinai is. The Rambam has three rules as to what is shayach halacha moshe m'Sinai. Not everybody agrees to all three of the rules, but it's basic outline. So the Rambam rule number one is halacha moshe m'Sinai is not in the text. It's not. There's no allusion to it one way or the other in the text. Sometimes the Torah will go through different drushes and they'll say, no, it's got to be halacha moshe m'Sinai, but in the kraz asmachta ba'alma. That the pasuk is not really alluding to this. It's just that we use the pasuk to try to hint at it, but really it's just we have this tradition from Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's rule number one. It's not anywhere in the text. If it's in the text, it's not halacha moshe m'Sinai. Because that's something we could darshan out on our own. We don't need to put it in that special category. Rule number two is that it's not necessarily logical or illogical. There's no logic to it per se. So for example, a lot of the halachos of tefillin are halacha moshe m'Sinai, right? Tefillin have to be black. Is that more or less logical that the tefillin should be black? It's none of the above. It just is, right? Tefillin have to be square as halacha moshe m'Sinai, right? So also, not logical, not illogical. Not something you could have surmised misvar. And rule number three is sort of an outgrowth of rules number one and two, and this is the one that many disagree with the Rambam on, is that that he says that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai is not subject to machlokes. Right? He says if there's a machlokes, it can't be halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, because what are they even arguing about? Meaning if it's not in the text, and it's not misvara, so what are you arguing about? You either have the tradition or you don't. So it's impossible that there could be a machlokis. Okay, there are a lot of cases. There's a Shaul and Chuvas Chavos Yoir, where Rav Yair Bachrach wrote it, I think, in the mid-1600s, where he collects a number of cases throughout Shas where it seems that there is a machlokis, halacha moshe m'Sinai. Many have tried to solve all of these difficulties. So that's a separate inyan unto itself. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, here's
supposed
to be
seen
that could have machlokes.
Sure, yeah, because it's not so shayach that it would have a machlokes, but at least there's what to argue about. I mean, you're learning the pasuk this way; I think you should learn the pasuk that way. So he says, "Enochinami, there hasn't been one. There hasn't been a machlokes, but there could be because we have at least something that we could argue about." As opposed to halacha moshe m'Sinai, what are we arguing about?
There's no.
If I say A, you say B, one of us is just wrong. You understand?
Most of it has no basis in the Torah.
Right. There's nothing to talk about. There's no, I'm reading the pasuk, this reading. It's not in the pasuk. Okay. So, says the Chasam Sofer, it must be that the concept of Cheresh and Shote is halacha moshe m'Sinai. Also, by the katan, just for the record, not necessarily the concept of katnus, but the concept of becoming chayev and mitzvos at certain ages, it's generally accepted that it's halacha moshe m'Sinai as well. That these are not things that you can find psukim for or drushes for in the Gemara. So now he goes further and he says, "Vekusha kevan detani cheresh umikol shkena garua mimeno bedas." So once we learn cheresh, and certainly anyone who's less than him in terms of mental ability, lama adar tani shote. So bishlama katan lo kashemidi the katan mecheresh shote lo was. basically saying that, all right, we already spoke this out a little bit. Basically, if we have Cheresh is not that bad. So he could be very intelligent, he just lacks the ability to communicate with other humans in those days specifically. But a Shoteh could be much worse, and basically, where's there room for a Pesi? Where's there room for someone who's just functioning on a very low level? So let's skip to the next paragraph. Anir al anias daiti bazed devadai kol mi she'ein sichlo tzolul she'yelo l'chol apochos daita tzilusa avol mi she'ein o'osa shum ma'isa shtus. So he says, a person whose mind is not clear, doesn't have a clarity of thought, even though he's not doing anything crazy, raku b'sheva al tase, he's just sitting there. You have a person, and he sits there and he watches the world go by, because he's very unintelligent. He doesn't really form complex thoughts. So that individual, he is not doing anything wrong. He's not doing anything crazy. But he's just living life b'shei v'altas. Right? He doesn't understand concepts. Harei hu pasul min haTorah l'chol mile. He's certainly not a bardas. Varei hu b'chlal cheresh. So he says that if we're talking about a person who is mentally handicapped, he's not great. Often people misunderstand. Because modern Hebrew, we translate the word shote as a fool. So we think that a person who is developmentally disabled is begeder a shote. He's not. He's begeder a cheresh. He's considered lower than a cheresh in terms of his ability, but he's in the subcategory of a cheresh and not a shote. And he says he's considered like a cheresh. That's what Chasam Sofer says. Shemonu chazal v'chol makom shepasul mitamana. So he says, if a person's a pesi and he's worse than a cheresh, meaning he has less communication skills than a cheresh, or he has less ability to formulate complex thoughts than a cheresh, so he is on a lower level. This person doesn't have to be crazy. He just has to be that he's not highly intelligent. But if we see that these types of people are able to formulate clear thoughts, so then they are considered a bardas. So, b'chol maaseim, k'maisa pikchim, right? And that everything they do is considered like a pikeach, like a person who has das. V'amnam ha-shote ha-dibru b'chol makam, ha-inu she'osem maaseim v'poel ha-morim al-tiruv daito u'bilbu machshavasa. A shote is different. He could be a genius, but he's doing crazy things that show that there's something wrong. Ulezelo yoel afilo meshi v'shol kehogen. This we'll talk about next time, but it's not going to help if sometimes you can talk to him on a high level. Meaning, you can have a person who's legally insane, and you can have a very high-level conversation. Not that I recommend it, but did anybody see Silence of the Lambs? It came out when I was a kid. So, okay, good. Don't see it. But if you were a kid when it came out and you saw it, so whatever. Basically, the lady's in the FBI. She's trying to catch a serial killer, and she has to go to a different serial killer to try to catch him. This guy is a super genius, but he's also, you know, certifiable on many levels. So this person, you could have a very, very high level conversation with him, but he is not a bardas that he would be chayv mitzvahs. If he would write a get, it would not be a good get. If he would write, you know, if he would, even he can't conduct business la halacha, because he's not a bardas in that way, even though he's very smart. Right? So he says, u'me'ato tarvayu tzdericha cheresh v'shota. So he says, we need two things. So basically, says the Chasam Sofer, the difference between a cheresh and a shota is, a cheresh represents a low level of das. Either the inability to communicate on a normal human level using sound, meaning listening and speaking, or lower than that, meaning a person, even if he can communicate, but he represents a very, very low level of intelligence. However, if this person who represents a low level of intelligence would be able to all of a sudden show that he is intelligent in certain things, so for those things he would be considered a bardas. Ma she'ein kein a shote A shota who is may have a very high level of seichel, he might be very intelligent, but the fact that he is insane makes it impossible for him to be considered a bar das for a totally different reason. Meaning that you have to be a sane person to be chayiv in mitzvos. And therefore, he's putter. And the difference is that even if a lot of the time this fellow shows that he is very smart and you can talk to him, that does not make him chayiv in mitzvos even for those things. You can if you have a person who's insane and now you want to write a get, so it's not going to help. That it's not going to help that you can talk to him about the concept of getting in kiddushin, and he'll speak very intelligently about it, and he'll say, "Look, I even know the get by heart. I could write the whole thing out by myself." And he writes the whole get out by himself. And it doesn't help because he's a crazy person, right? And then, okay, there's all kinds of cases in between that the halacha deals with. Is let's say the guy has some type of, nowadays we call it PTSD, right? Back in the day, they called it he was a shell shocked. Right, so there were people like that. They went off to war and they came back and they have PTSD. Half the time they're normal, and then if they hear the wrong sound or the wrong smell or the wrong word, it sets them off, and then they go crazy for a while. So is that person considered, you know, a bar das when he's normal, and then he's only a shotev ace shtuso, or perhaps not? Perhaps he's always a considered a shota because he has this underlying idea. Okay, so that is the Chasam Sofer's categorization that I think most people use, which is that a cherish and a pesi are in one category, people with a lower level of das, and a shota is in a different category. Okay, take a look at source number 4, the Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. This is an Evan Ezer. He quotes the Tshuvas HaRosh. I did not succeed in finding this Tshuvas HaRosh. I pretty confident that it's there. I wasn't able to find it on my computer. So let's say you have a person, he's 90% deaf, but if you yell in his ear, he'll hear you. Is this person considered a cherish? Is he chayiv in mitzvos? Or no, because he can't hear normally. So that's already... So Eino Cherish, says the Rosh, he's not considered a deaf person. Ela shekaved oznav mishmoa. He just doesn't hear well. So he says, that person doesn't have a din of a Cherish, he just, what we call nowadays, hard of hearing. So that's okay. Vahare hu kemisha eino medaber. It's like the same thing of a person who can hear, but he can't speak. So if you have a guy, and he's 90% deaf, and he can't speak, but if you yell in his ear, he'll, you know, say, "Shake your head if you can hear me," and he shakes his head up and down. He's considered a chayiv in mitzvos. He'd be putter from re'ia. He'd be putter from going on aliyah l'regel because we have the gzeiris hakasav of l'man yishmu l'man yilmedu. But that we learned that from Hakel, right? So, but nevertheless, he is chayiv in the rest of the Torah. So he says, "Umistaber nami da'av she'ino shomea kishem edami umakol ram zulas al yedei min chatzotzros." So says the Pri Chadash, if the only way you can communicate with him is with, you guys know what chatzotzros are, right? Going back to Parshas Ba'alosta, right? The trumpets, right? So I don't think they were actual trumpets, but they must have had some kind of a trumpet-shaped hearing aid back in the day, like a little megaphone that they would attach to the guy so he could, you know, guys, he looked like Shrek. I don't know. So he would have some like these things going out of his ears like that. So that guy, he can hear you because he has these medieval hearing aids. So that guy is considered he's considered hard of hearing, but he's chayiv mitzvos. So v'chayotze de lo mikre cherish. That type of person is not considered a cherish. And Rav Moshe takes this idea and runs with it. And Rav Moshe says, "B'davar echad shenolad cherish below koach hashmia." Also, before we get to this, Rav Moshe has many tshuvas about different kinds of hearing aids and microphones and things like that. So Rav Moshe writes a davar pashut based on this Pri Chadash that a person who can only hear by using a hearing aid, but he does hear. It just the hearing aid, you know, makes the sounds much louder. So that person is considered a pikeach. what about this guy who was born deaf? Now, I'm not sure what Metzias Rav Moshe is talking about. I looked online to see when they first started with cochlear implants. Yeah. So I'm not sure if that's what... So this tshuva, I think, was in 1971. I don't know if I kept the date on it. I think I took it off. I think the tshuva was written in 1971 or 1970-something. So the cochlear implants did exist at the time. They weren't as refined as the current ones. I'll tell you a cute story that Dr. Tversky, you guys know Dr. Abraham Tversky? So he was a psychiatrist for the majority of his career. He was the chief of psychiatric medicine in a hospital in Milwaukee. And he was very close to the Stipler. And the Stipler, for those, if you're aware, was mostly deaf by the end of his life. For the last 20 years or so of his life, he was mostly deaf. And people would, he'd have to write things down and pass it to him. He'd write things down back, or he'd yell back, and whatever. So Dr. Tversky would visit the Stipler from time to time, and he told him he thinks that he's a very good candidate for a cochlear implant, and he could cure his hearing. So the Stipler said he'd rather not. So he said, why? He said, because now, he says, people are coming to me all the time, but they stay for a minute or two because it's so awkward. We're both yelling at each other and like, so they leave. They say what they need to say and they leave. He says, if I would be able to hear and carry on a normal conversation, people would never leave. So I'd never get any learning done and it's better this way. So he didn't want the cochlear implant. But okay. So nevertheless, the Rav Moshe is talking about some type of device which allows the person to hear very well, even though this person was born deaf. And he says, based on this, he also learned how to speak. So is this guy considered a pikeach or not? So Rav Moshe says, I'm going to skip to the underlines. He says, "Kiulai shmiya yedei mechonu, kishmiya yedei min chatzotzu she'apri chadash be'avneizer kuchavala sover shenechshav shomeya." Maybe this type of implant is the same as the pri chadash's case, where you have the hearing devices, and that's considered like he can hear. "Ulai nechshav eino shomeya umedaber shu kipikeach achla Rambam yisorim du kicherish." Okay, leave out that Rambam for now. In this particular tshuva, Rav Moshe deals with a very difficult Rambam in Hilchos Eidus. It's not for us right now. One day you'll come across it. You'll try to explain it. But he says maybe this fellow is considered that he's a pikeach because he's a shomea veino, he's a medaber veino shomea. So again, he'd be putter from aliyah l'regel, but he'd be chayev in mitzvos. So nachon lani is daiti diyesh lo din medaber veino shomea shu kepikeach. Right, and he says that he considers this guy to be a medaber ve'eno shomea. So he says basically that he thinks that this guy, since he's not really able to hear, and if you take away this device, he can't hear anything. Therefore, he thinks that this person has a din of eno shomea, but because this thing generates certain kind of sounds, and because he hears the sounds, the fellow was able to learn how to speak, so he is considered a bardas, because now he can speak. And Rav Moshe has a very interesting take on this idea, and he basically says that, what is it about a cheresh that we think makes him not be a bardas? It must be because his sense of hearing is indicative of a certain level of brain function. So he says that how low, meaning he's saying that there's certain minimal amount of brain functionality that you have in order to be considered a bar das. So the inability to hear or speak is below that level. But once you can do one or the other, then mamela, you have exceeded the threshold necessary for being a bar das. So you can, if you can speak, so you're over the hump, or if you can hear, you're over the hump, and that's fine. It's only if you can't do either that we're considered that some area of your mind is lacking. So he says, basically, the fact that we used a machine to substitute for your ability to hear doesn't indicate that your mind is where it needs to be for you to be a bardas. And thus, if this fellow was not able to talk, he would still be considered a cheresh lahalacha because he's considered that he's his brain is not functioning on that level. Fine. And then, okay, going. There's a lot more here in this tshuva. It's kedai to read the tshuva. But and I gave you that difficult Rambam over there. But we'll save that. We'll save that for next time. I just want to read you from a different tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote. Well, I didn't give you this whole tshuva because it's a little long. But Rav Moshe wrote certain klalim for a cheresh halacha lemaisa, and I think you know this is a very interesting take on it. So he says, he writes down. Let's see how many rules. He has six basic rules for a cheresh in halacha. So he says, number one, someone who's considered cheresh mamish, right, versus medaber v'eino shomea. So he says, it doesn't matter. So Rav Moshe, rule number one, he says, it doesn't matter how bright the guy is. Meaning, let's say he went to a school for the deaf, and he's clearly brilliant, and his sign language is excellent, and he's able to communicate on a very high level. He says that person, al pi halacha, is still not chayv in mitzvos. There's a Rashash. I forgot where the Rashash. I think it's in Gittin. Rashash in Gittin, I think, argues on this point. The Rashash in Gittin, I think, says that nowadays that we have schools for the deaf, maybe if you have a deaf person who speaks in sign language and he's functioning at a very high level, so he would have a din of a pikeach. Rav Moshe says, no, it's not our place, and it makes sense if you think, but like the Chasam Sofer, says it's a, if there's a lach Moshe Misinai, then a cheresh not chayv in mitzvos, so cheresh yinam adab yinam shomez is not chayv in mitzvos, period. Ah, you see, he's brilliant, he's great with sign language, he communicates in a very intelligent way. So what? That's not enough. That's number one. Number two, so he says, he still thinks that a cheresh should keep the mitzvahs, meaning he's potter technically, but it's kedai for him to try to do the mitzvahs. He says, what about a cheresh who wants to daven? Should he bother saying the words? Meaning he can mouth the words even if no sound comes out or no intelligible sound comes out. He says, yes, he should try to mouth the words, and they should not sign language the words, basically. He says, he writes, "Ein lecharash mahagid brachos ayde dibur biyadeim." Rather, yishtadu lehotzi milim mipiem kavi yecholtam. He should speak out the words as clearly as he possibly can, based on his ability. He says, if you can't say anything, so if he knows nothing's going to come out at all, then he should do it in sign language better than to just say nothing, than have no sounds come out whatsoever. And he says, but obviously, rule number four, he can't be motzi other people in mitzvos, because he is not considered a bar chiyuva, and therefore, so he should, but he can't hear from other people, so he can't be yotze with other people's things, so he should make his own kiddush, should make his own hamotzi, and things like that. He shouldn't try to be yotze by listening to other people. Yeah.
Is that chayv mitzvos? What's the point of doing any of that?
He's in a mitzvah viyosa. It's no worse than a woman sitting in a sukkah or something like that. He's still mekayim the mitzvah. Peter is in a mitzvah viyosa. Fine. Number five, he says he shouldn't write stam, and he shouldn't write a sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah because he's not chayiv in the mitzvos. But he says nevertheless, let's say someone's wife is a chareshes for the purposes of ilchos nida. She is believed to check herself to make sure when she is seeing dam, when she's not seeing dam. She has, even though she's technically not a bas das, she's menace if she knows what she's doing. If she's made it clear that she knows the halachos, so she is believed to make sure that she is keeping the halachos properly. And now he has a little, just the last thing, he says basically giving an aliyah to a cheresh. So he says, let's say you have a guy who he can speak. So he says, he can't hear, but he can speak. He can give him a regular aliyah, right? And as long as he's able to read along with the Baal Koreh, just call him up to the Torah, even though he can't hear the Baal Koreh, but as long as he reads along with the Baal Koreh, that's perfectly fine. So he says, he says, there's a question about making brachos in general for other people, but... we're makel. He doesn't quote the Ramah. The Ramah is extremely makel with who he can give an aliyah to, and therefore he says we're makel over here. He says, but if a person is considered halachically a cheresh. He can't speak, nor can he hear. So that guy, you really shouldn't give him an aliyah unless it's absolutely necessary. Let's say he becomes a bar mitzvah. So even though he's technically in a chayv and mitzvah, so you want him to feel like a mensch. So you can give him an aliyah for his bar mitzvah. This is an ofruf, etc. So he says, and once in a while, so he should feel a little shaychus to the tzibur, you can give him an aliyah. So he goes through which aliyah you should give him. It should be, you should do a hosafa, you should make sure to call seven other people in addition to the cherish. Don't give him the maftir over there, don't give him the last aliyah, just give him an aliyah in the middle. Or he says, basically give him achron. So you read the first seven aliyos, and give him achron, and then the maftir is going to go back over that aliyah anyway, so it's no big deal. So you can give him that aliyah, and but he basically says that you should, you should do it. So he says, Rav Moshe says, I only wrote this tshuva because I was asked to buy a school for the deaf. So he says, I wrote it to be, you know, it's because they asked me to. So he says, okay, so you should put it in. You put it in the sefer. But I will just read you the last part. None of this should be relevant la'alacha. Shelo yecharashim b'chla Yisrael. We shouldn't have charashim. V'she'elu shekvar charashim rachmana litzlan yu nirpim legamri b'vias Mashiach tzidkein b'karov. Those who are deaf should be healed very soon when Mashiach comes. Kmo shonim mitzapim mamish b'chotom. V'she'tishar tshuva zu ke'inyin shel lahagdol Torah la'adir l'chud. And this should just be an academic tshuva for the sake of learning Torah, but it should not be relevant to anybody's life. All right, we'll hold here.